have some special guests today. From the Uprising Archives. On October 13th, 1975, Rob Shivers, an exhorter from MCC Dallas, met with a group of people in Austin who wished to start a church. The first service was held in the home of Alexandria Sandy Maychek, with six people attending. Word spread, interest grew, and the group moved services to the Office of Gay Community Services at 2330 Guadalupe. Limited space allowed no room for musical instruments. Tommy Ingram led the song service using taped music. Soon, that group of people, that small group, petitioned the board of directors of the Congregational Church of Austin, asking if they would allow the new church to worship in their space. And they said yes, but the space is not ready for you yet. So beginning in October of that year, the MCC Austin began to worship together on the second and fourth Sundays at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. By January, February of 1976, the Congregational Church had room ready, and the church began to meet every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., plus Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're going to take a walk down memory lane this morning. I've asked a few people to share their stories with us. So we're going to start this morning with Patsy Loera Pinellas. Now, this is the part where you look at somebody and you're trying to tell their age and all, and then they tell you when they really started, and then you say, because you're nice, oh, you must have been a baby, right? Because you're only 35 now or whatever. But with Patsy, this is all true. When she started worshiping at the Community Church of Austin at that time, she was a baby. I didn't even know it until, I mean, not baby, but... tell the folks when you started and how you came to be here.
Well, when I graduated high school...
Oh, gosh. See, I lost myself in the music. All right. There you go.
Is it on?
Yeah, should be.
Okay. When I graduated high school in 73, I was 19 years old. I ran into a friend who told me about MCC when it started 2 years later. So I started going to church. I was 22 years old, and I really enjoyed it. Time went by, and at some point, I became a deacon. We served at this church we were at, and at that time, I was wearing a gray, it was an orange
stole.
The clerical, so with the double collars, black striped collars. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I also was... through the MDC church, was given a chalice, a silver chalice, and I did a nursing home for married adults. I would give them service and communion, and I did that for a long time, for at least a year. So as time went by, the church grew. We went to different places on 6th Street, and then we moved from there, I think it was to Springdale, and then Woodwork. And then here.
So this is what you told me. You didn't know what kind of church exactly you were being invited to.
No, I didn't know what kind of church it was.
Yeah. do you remember when you first realized? This is different.
Well, my friend Jody Stewart, who used to come here as well, was the one that invited me. And then she kind of told me about it little by little. And she said, am I scaring you? I says, no. I felt like myself at that point that I didn't know that much about myself until I went there.
Yeah.
And then I realized I'm home.
Oh.
And I've been home ever since.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that. I knew what I was being invited to when I came to worship the first time, but I didn't know really what I was in for until I saw Mary Rostrum's hand on Donna Holman's butt in worship. I was right behind him. I couldn't look away. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about that time, Patsy?
Well, we did meet in some, we would usually get together in friends' homes, one of them being Joe Miller. He was our pianist at that time. And we all had a great time. We got to know each other, and it just grew from there. I also, at one point, with the pianist, and there was about 8 other male friends of mine, we started a little musical group. We used to sing concerts in Dallas through the different churches for about a year. I was the only girl, and of course I was a soprano singer. And every time we go to a different service, they try to make me sing with another soprano to see who can get the highest.
Oh, goodness.
I remember that. It's just, but, you know, think over time, all these friends of mine that we gathered together, we went to a conference in Louisiana for a week. And we did great with me and 8 other guys in a big, large room.
So it was a church singing.
It was conference. MCC with the conference for MCC.
Okay.
And we enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I had a great time. And at one point, my friend Joe Miller decided to go with a minister traveling on a bus. And I went with them for a month.
Okay.
Traveled through the country singing with them. And I enjoyed it.
Patsy, you and Mary raised how many children in the church?
We raised 4. Actually, we're the first set of kids that came to the service at MCC. And Reverend... my brain's gone.
Reverend Ken?
Yes. He baptized all our kids. At that time, it was 3. It was Mario, Destiny, and Daniel. Daniel was 6 months old. Mario was a little over 3. Destiny had just turned 2.
And now you have a grandbaby.
Yes. But after that, we grabbed one more. We had Christopher, who presented us with a baby girl, granddaughter, about a year ago.
About a year ago.
So well, we do have one granddaughter now.
Thank you, Patsy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Now we're going to talk. Oh, now we're going to talk to another baby when he got started here. I can't wait for you to see this next picture. Oh. I asked Doug to talk about the 80s, and if you'll just look back, we know what was happening in the 80s and how our community was really being decimated at that time. So, Doug, talk to us about your experience.
Oh my goodness, I just want to. There's so many things, and I don't want to take up too much time, but. I remember that the first time I walked into MCC Austin, we were in the Congregational Church over on, I think it's 23rd Street or something, over by UT. And there was a woman who's in heaven now, but her name was Connie Hicks. And Connie had just the most beautiful spirit about her. And it just so happened that very first day that I went, she served me communion. And she wrapped her arms around me and gave me that communion blessing. And I said, I'm home. Mm-hmm. I just instantly felt at home.
How old were you then?
Oh, my gosh. So I was thinking about this. I guess I was about 22. Mm-hmm. I was 21 when I moved to Austin in 1984. You can do the math. I'm 61 now. what a wonderful, wonderful time it's been.
Were you out at all when you came?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You were out.
In fact, it's a big part of my story that I had really been out even in my youth in when I lived in the Dallas area, but I was not out to my family. And when I made the move to Austin, I made a commitment to myself, and I said, I will never hide who I am from this point forward. I just drew my proverbial line in the sand.
Austin does that to people.
It really does, and I've never regretted that decision. Yeah. So, yeah. Wonderful. But to talk a little bit about, you know, one thing about AIDS, HIV and AIDS, at that time there was so much uncertainty. And I remember that feeling. There was so little concrete information that we had at that time, how to really protect ourselves, and there was some information, but we just knew so little, and there was such a sense of uncertainty that you just kind of had to live through.
Were you frightened?
Yeah.
What kinds of things were you hearing about HIV and AIDS?
Well, much more than I mean, certainly I heard every negative message that you can think of, but much more impactful was seeing people die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots and lots of death.
Friends.
Lots of friends.
People at the church.
Oh, yes. I just have to mention to you, there was a gentleman named D.W., his initials D.W. was how he went by, his last name Sykes. Oh, what a character D.W. Sykes was. And he sang gospel music like you can't believe, and he played the piano just in a way that just rose the roof on the church. Such an interesting but spiritual man. And one little thing, he was fond of saying, "Remember Lot's wife." And this was to get across to you, don't look back.
Hmm.
Don't spend your time looking back. And he would say, "Remember Lot's wife," as if, you know, in a really pithy, queeny way. It was just like, you know.
You can girl. Do it. You can do it. I know you can do it. Go ahead, do it.
I can't do it, Jesus. But, you know, maybe a snap of the finger was involved. But anyway, you know, I bring him up only because several of us at church were privileged to be with him when he passed, when he made his transition from this world to the next, and we were all standing around his bed holding hands, singing Amazing Grace. And I mean, it's a moment that touches me deeply to this day.
Yeah. You went to some ACT UP?
Oh, yes, yes. I participated in quite a few demonstrations, and probably the biggest which was at the Republican National Convention in 1984. I think it was 84.
Where was it?
I'm sorry.
Where was it?
In Houston. And it was really interesting. It became nighttime, and the police wanted to clear us out of there, and they came through on horseback, swinging clubs and hitting us indiscriminately to move us away from the convention center. And whew, yeah. That's the kind of experience you will not easily forget, I promise you.
Uh-huh. Well, you've kept up that work, and you've kept up your singing, and you're still a deacon for this congregation, and we just thank you for all of that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Continuing the theme of baby pictures, can you see that handsome child in the middle there? And several of these folks are gone, but Cheryl Restman sang with us two weeks ago on Saturday night. Brought her guitar and lent her. And who is that handsome clerical guy there on the left side? Another baby. So Marlon, he's going to talk about whatever he wants, but yeah,
no.
But part of it is he carries the experience from those years on the road, from when we did not have our own place, and just kind of what some of that was like.
Yeah, I moved here to Austin in 1996, and found out about MCC Austin from my realtor, who's Mark Crowder. That he was attending here. And Ken Martin was the pastor, had been pastor since 93. And we were on Woodward Street, which is across from St. Edward's University. And the church was growing fairly rapidly, and we actually were exceeding the capacity of that space. So we decided to sell that property and find a larger location, or a larger church or in the area. But being where that was, it sold very quickly, and we had not found any place to move to. So we had to find some temporary locations. first one we went to was a gymnasium at a middle school in Southwest Austin. And next to that school was a Baptist church.
And so this was Covington.
Yes.
Covington Middle School and the
and
church.
It's Bannockburn. Yes.
Baptist Church. So you had, the church had an agreement with the Austin
the school,
Independent School
yep.
District to rent space
in their
at the middle school
right.
for worship.
Right.
And that's nobody else's business.
Right. Well, what happened, the Baptist Church had a contract to use part of the school's parking lot as an overflow, but they hadn't really been needing that space. But so after a couple of weeks, they noticed all these cars in the parking lot, and they discovered then that we were, quote, a gay church, and they extended their contract to the entire parking lot of the school and told us we could not park there. Mm-hmm. So we needed to find another temporary location. And we ended up at, found the First Unitarian Church in Central Austin would allow us to use their facilities. However, since they used them on Sunday mornings, we had to meet Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. So it was almost 2 years that we met, had church on Saturday nights at the Unitarian Church. And then we came to this location, found this property, and named it Freedom Oaks.
Yeah.
And the first service that we had at this property shows that we was a big white rented tent with porta potties outside, and that was on Palm Sunday in 2000.
Yeah.
And it was at that service that I became a deacon along with the three other ladies there.
Yeah. The we last night we did specifically the history of praise and worship of Saturday night, and they pointed out that the first service was in the tent with the porta potties, and I said, you know, we have a storied history of worshiping in places that aren't ready for us yet, kind of doing it differently.
Right.
Let me ask you a quick question. You had that experience of being on the road, and I imagine there was some urgency about that and some things attached to that, and then you've had this experience of for over 20 years now being here in our own home. How does that feel different? What are your thoughts about those two situations?
Well, initially when we were trying to find temporary space, of course, it was almost like, well, where are we going to be this week? You know, and there was a little apprehension about whether we were going to be able to stay together or maintain, but everybody had a commitment to be a part of this church.
People.
And so wherever we were, and eventually when we did at Unitarian, Saturday nights just became our Sunday mornings. I mean, that was just our regular church service. And so we just, everybody working with that, and then fortunately we did find this property.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that part of the story for our anniversary celebration. But anything else, Marlon?
No, I think it just shows that the commitment that people made, or well, doesn't matter where we are.
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
the people that make the difference.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We've got just one more quick. Guest. I want to bring Josephine up. Josephine and Joanne joined us just before COVID, and I specifically want Josie to tell you how they knew they were home. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how did that come to be that? And first of all, tell the people where you live.
Oh, we live out in the Hill Country, High Texas.
Which is how far away?
It's an hour and 15 minutes.
And y'all are here every time I'm here.
Pretty
so,
much.
So you're committed.
If we're in town, we're here.
So tell us how you knew this was a place to come back to.
Well, I was what they call a cradle Episcopalian. My dad was the minister of St. John's Episcopal Church, Hollywood, Florida, so I was raised and steeped in the Episcopal Church, and we engaged the church in Blanco after 9/11, like a lot of people. It's like, you know, start thinking.
Go back to church.
So we went back to church, and I was there 14 years. But there's a difference between being tolerated and embraced. And I could start, you know, when you're first is in our history, you know, it's like we've been oppressed so long, just being tolerated feels like, wow, we're there. But eventually it starts to wear thin, and as we got into the late teens, attitudes started to shift just a little. Mm-hmm. Nobody was overt, but it was kind of covert, and I just felt it was time to go. Plus, my theology was moving very much from traditional to progressive. And so I started looking kind of in a spiral, trying to not have to drive an hour and 15 minutes. I knew you all were here, but it was just so far. And I tried every damn Episcopal church there was, and it wasn't enough. I kind of had this little punch list. And my punch list was I wanted to be able to be authentic, which doesn't mean I get to be a fool. It just means I get to be who I am. I wanted a Bible study, and I wanted to be embraced for what I was. Now, being a trans person, that's a little scary because I've been discriminated in the community for being who I am. It's a difficult thing to grasp and understand because it's at the gut level. And it's like when I was transitioning in Hollywood area, I would tell the men there what I was going to do, and you could just feel them kind of protect themselves.
Yeah,
it's scary. It's difficult. The gut doesn't compute. So I wasn't sure what I was going to come here, and I came here, I think it was in 2016, in July. Does everybody know what we do in July here? I fell in love.
So you fell in love with Bible
on
Broadway.
I said, any church that can do Bible on Broadway is my kind of church.
All right, and we are.
And I also found out you had a very wonderful Bible study, mm-hmm. which I highly recommend. Now, at the time, it was convenient because the second service, there was two services.
Yeah.
The second service was at 11. Mm-hmm. So we could actually get a little sleep.
A little bit,
and
yeah.
make Bible study.
Yeah. Well,
now we've moved a little earlier, and God just gave me
so
the
what
willingness.
Time does Bible study start? Finish your plug. What time does
Bible study starts at 8:45.
8:45, and it's kind of hybrid, so if you want to join that online, we can get you the information. Thank you, Josephine. Appreciate that. Whoops, I'm stuck. All right, let me wrap this up for us a little bit. You know, it became so clear to me last night, sharing these memories and things. I know of a lot of churches, and particularly I remember being in Chicago and having a conference at the Fourth Presbyterian Church, and they didn't go from the first to the second, the second to the third, and the third to the fourth just because they grew, right? These churches split often over theological differences, philosophical differences, over what kind of music they sing, over if they're going to have women pastors, all kinds of things. And these churches, they open out of necessity. I don't know of any churches other than MCC churches that started because no one else wanted them to worship with them. So I want to keep you to keep that in mind. I'm not preaching. I'm not going to elaborate on this. I'm just going to share this scripture with you. And I want you to listen to it, knowing that we are these people, the people that are addressed in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Let yourself be embraced. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. This honor, then, is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are God's chosen people. Amen.